I went down to Cincinnati earlier today for our priesthood ordination. We had two men ordained to serve as priests for the Archdiocese of Cincinnati. And it was great to support our newly ordained priests and to celebrate with them. But also, I wanted to make sure, since one of them is supposed to come here, I wanted to make sure everything went properly and he was actually ordained. So if he tried to get away, I was there to grab him and bring him back. But no, it was a beautiful ceremony. And it's interesting with our readings today. You know, the first reading in Acts of the Apostles talks about Paul and his missionary journeys and how in every church that he established, he would ordain presbyters to serve that church. Presbyter is the root word that comes into English as priest. And so in every city that he established, he would ordain priests to serve as their spiritual leaders. So the communities themselves didn't just vote and select someone, or you know, it wasn't just someone who said, well, I think I'll be a good leader of the community. It was someone appointed by the apostles. And it was very powerful to be in Cincinnati today, where a successor to the apostles, Archbishop Casey, did the exact same thing in ordaining two men to serve within our church. And so it's beautiful to see, something so scriptural, come, alive before our very eyes. But, our second reading today from the book of Revelation is one of my favorite readings in the Bible. It's the culmination of God's plan of salvation. And, talks about how at the end of time, this world will be transformed and there will be a new heavens and a new earth. And this world will pass away. And it's the creation of a new world that's going to be untouched by sin. And just as the saints who are faithful to Christ will share in the resurrection and they will receive a glorified body, so too there's going to be a transformation in creation. And so there will be a place for the glorified saints who are going to be in this new heaven and earth to encounter God and to see him and to be with him forever. And so it's a beautiful vision of the culmination of God's plan of salvation. If any of you remember the movie that The Passion of Christ, there's a really powerful scene where Jesus has been scourged and he's carrying the cross and he meets his mother on the way to Calvary. And it's a very heart-wrenching moment in the movie. But the words that Christ says to his mother at that point are, "Behold, I make all things new." And so in the midst of this terrible suffering, it highlights that Christ never lost sight of what his mission was. And this transformation, in terms of there's a physical element, the world being recreated, the bodies of the saints being recreated. But there's also a spiritual transformation that needs to occur, a transformation in God's grace. Our hearts, what we desire, what we love, must be purified of our selfish desires, and it has to be elevated and conformed to God's will. And so there's a spiritual transformation that needs to happen. And that transformation begins now. It begins in this world. And the priesthood, as we think about the ordination of two priests, the priesthood plays an important part of how Jesus Christ brings about that transformation. Why did he appoint priests to be the leaders of each of these church communities? Well, priests have the responsibility of teaching the faith so that the flock can know the truth, and it elevates our minds when we hear the teachings of the church. And, priests are also supposed to witness what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ and how to embrace suffering, but to do so joyfully. And priests also administer the sacraments, baptizing, the Eucharist, the sacrament of confession. These are all ways in which Jesus Christ works to transform us and to make us new inwardly. The sacrament of confession has been in the news lately. I'm sure many of you have seen headlines about a law that was passed in Washington State, which it supposedly requires priests to report people to law enforcement if they hear certain things in confession that makes them suspect certain crimes like abuse or neglect. And on the surface, some people might say, well, that sounds like a really good thing to do. But if we look at it from a different perspective, first of all, priests are never going to follow this because the seal of confession is absolutely sacred. People need to know that when they go to the sacrament of confession, which is an encounter not just with the priest, but with Jesus Christ working through the priest, a person is confessing their sins to Jesus Christ, the supreme authority, the King of Kings. And it's in the sacrament of confession that they receive the mercy of Jesus Christ. And the sacrament of confession is sacred. And so if people knew that the priest was going to turn right around and tell people what's said in confession, then they wouldn't go to the sacrament. And so people need to have confidence that they can come before Jesus Christ and confess to him and receive forgiveness. Now, would this law, you know, actually help anything? Well, you know, if priests are going to say what happens in confession, people are going to stop going to confession. So it's not really going to prevent any cases of abuse or neglect. It's just going to prevent people from going to confession. And if people aren't going to confession, what is it that happens in confession? Well, confession is a place where people repent of their sins, where they recognize the things that they have done in their life that are opposed to God's will. And they come before him with contrition and sorrow and a firm commitment never to commit those sins again. And through an outpouring of grace, Jesus Christ makes their soul new. He transforms and elevates and purifies their soul. And so, so confession in a very powerful way is where Christ makes us new. And to separate people from that would have a lot of very bad effects. First of all, many people would lose their salvation because for mortal sins committed after baptism, we need the sacrament of confession that's necessary for our salvation. And so we don't want to keep people away from salvation. But if we as a society want to stop sin, then we should encourage as many people as possible to go to confession. We shouldn't prevent them from going to confession. We should encourage them to go to confession frequently and sincerely, because what that does over time as someone goes to confession is it forms their conscience and it helps to prevent sin before it takes deeper root within us, and it helps us to overcome sin. And so there's a powerful transformation that happens within the sacrament of confession. You know, sometimes government officials are very focused on what they are doing, and they think that their policies can accomplish great things. But it takes the power of Jesus Christ to change men's hearts. It's Jesus Christ who makes all things new. And laws can be helpful if they align with the common good. But when laws attack Jesus Christ and his plan to make all things new and attack the sacrament of confession in the church, then those laws themselves can become counterproductive and they can become a source of abuse, not the solution to abuse. The solution is for us, first and foremost, to trust in the plan of Jesus Christ to make all things new. And so today we thank the Lord for the gift of the priesthood. We thank him for the priest that we have newly ordained to serve the archdiocese. And we put our faith first and foremost in Jesus Christ's plan of salvation, in his church and his teachings and the sacraments that he instituted. And we allow those things to draw us more deeply into his own life and to make all things new, to make our hearts new, as we await one day our joyful hope of the coming of the new heavens and the new earth.